May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. A philosopher once said, oh, by the way, the one I'm talking about is George Carlin. A philosopher once said that God has a severe quality control issue. What's the evidence? Well, just look around you, okay? You look at the mountains, it's like, really? Why do they have to be so jagged? Why can't they all be the same height? You look at people. Why we got is some people are good, some people not so good, and some people are just downright awful, right? So we got to seriously, if God created all of us, God's got a severe quality control issue, right? Well, you might want to agree with that or not. Consider this. The Bible, in contradistinction to religion, we think of the Bible as a religious book, right? But it's not. You know why? Religion is all about man's attempt to get to God. Religion is a human invention. It's something we started. God didn't start it. We did. The story of the Bible is all about God trying to get to us. And that started all the way through. We saw it in Adam, and he messed that up, right? And then God said, well, I'm going to start all over. So the flood and Noah, and he has his covenant with Noah. Abraham, he goes with one family. Okay, I'm just going down with one family. I'm going to start with you, Abraham. And then, they end up taking over the promised land. And they blow it as well. Even David, right? The great, greatest king of all time, the promise of a Davidic king forever. Even he went by the way. Yeah, exactly. 400 years after David, Jeremiah shows up. And that was our first reading today. I hope you were paying attention to the first reading, because that's where I'm coming from on this one, all right? Did you realize that the prophets, especially the ones that we see in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, do you realize that they are essentially quality control? Yeah, they were quality control for the priests. They are the ones who told the priests when they were getting out of hand. They were the ones who really emphasized to the monarchs as well, hey, we've gone way off course here. It's time to correct things. So here comes Jeremiah, 400 years after David, right? They're collapsing in on itself. They're being exiled away into a far, far away land, right? And this prophet, who's known for gloom and doom, comes out of the blue, and in this two chapters in his all of the book of Jeremiah, theologians call it the book of consolation. He actually gives some hope. Oh, here's some hope. He actually has us look to the future. Jeremiah announces to a people who are dying and suffering the coming of a new covenant, right? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like those broken covenants of the past. No, the covenant that I will make will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So after all is said and done, God takes on his quality control issue by writing his instruction on our hearts. Now, the Mosaic Covenant was supposed to solve all that, right? You got all the commandments and what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do and all that. That was supposed to solve that, right? Well, it didn't work, did it? We seem to think that our religiosity is something that actually helps us get to God. And what's our religiosity? Those are those things we do because they're on that checklist of, oh, this is what you do. Okay, I'll come to church every Sunday, check, or maybe just once a month, check, or maybe it's twice a year, check, whatever that is, right? People think that, oh, well, I'm good. I got my ticket punched. We do that with prayers. We do that with things that we are obligated to do and to be and say. God's promise is to reach inside of us and write his instruction on our hearts. It's all about us actually getting to know who we really are at our base level. He doesn't want us to turn into somebody else. He wants us to turn into who we really are. Do you realize in the marketing world, you know what this is? This is actually a rebranding. It's a rebranding. You know, companies do that. Corporations do that, right? They change the colors of their logo or the font or, you know, whatever. Maybe they even change the name. Company I work for, Federal Express. It used to be called Federal Express. It's now FedEx, right? Exactly, right? So everybody's got to rebrand sometime. Well, that's what God is trying to do with us, all right? This new covenant is the last covenant, and it reaches fulfillment in the act of God sending not just another prophet, but he sends who? His son. Jesus came not just as a prophet, but as the quintessential culmination of all that God had intended for humankind. All the expectations that God had, like from Israel, they get fulfilled in Jesus. One man. All the promises God has made for all of humanity get fulfilled in Jesus. And it's in the way that Jesus fulfilled God's intention that kind of trips us up. Yeah. In our gospel reading, we hear Jesus proclaim that the time to die is what? It's the beginning of the time to fly, actually. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So God's quality control problem, if you think about it, it's kind of solved in Jesus. Jesus sees his own death as that divine action that will draw, as he says, all people to myself. And this is the model for all of us as believers, right? The way of life, the way of love, ironically enough, it begins with death. The life that we are promised, the eternal life we are promised, isn't a quantity of time. It's a quality of time. You know, this eternal life, this abundant life that we're promised, it's not something, you know, I think there might be even a show on TV about this. People like to hoard things, right? There's some people who, whatever they get, they just can't do away with it. It's like, oh, I'm going to need that someday. And they end up with a house full of clutter and just horribly, right? A lot of us do that with life. We think life can be hoarded away. And those good things of life, those abundant things in life, those eternal things in life, we try to sock them away. Might need it for a rainy day, right? That's not the way it works, though. It's something that we participate in by getting who we are. And when we grasp so tightly to what we think we just have to have, that's when we lose hold of the future that God is trying to give us. Only when we prepare to give up on those hopes can we receive God's gift of eternal, abundant life. And that's a quality of life that cannot be controlled. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.